Submission, submission. You know, who, if you knew it was going to be about submission, you would have come today. I mean, you'd probably rather me talk about giving 20% of your income away than submission. I mean, submission is not anything that many Americans really want to deal with. I mean, the only reason we submit, and we saw it in that little clip there before, is submission in our culture means something you do when you have no other options. You submit when somebody has forcefully beat you down. That's what we believe. You submit when you're weak. You submit when you're stupid. You submit when there's absolutely no other alternative. Who would voluntarily submit themselves to somebody else? Somebody who is relationally intelligent. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Later on when you get home today, we got a little RIQ quiz in the program. You can look at that to help test yourself out and see where you are in this area. But let's just recognize that this is not something that most of us in here have ever understood or ever done willingly. And yet, it's through in the entire Bible. The idea of submitting in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, one of the many, 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 many verses there are about this. It says this. It says, submit to one another. Submit to one another. This book is a fascinating book. It's called The Culture Code by Clotaire Rapaye or something. I don't know how you pronounce his name. Fascinating book called The Culture Code. What this book is about is knowing, if you're in sales, how to sell your product in the midst of a culture that you're trying to invade. Every single culture has a DNA code, according to him. There's a system that's inside of every culture. And if you can understand that system or understand the DNA of it, you'll be able to communicate better. So one of the ways that he helped out was with the organization that sells Jeep. I used to have a Jeep CJ7 back when Jeeps were Jeeps. Yes, yes. And then they became Jeep Wrangler. In the early years, Jeep Wrangler really floundered. So they brought this guy as a consultant. And his recommendation was to turn the headlights from being square to being round. Seemingly a stupid adaptation. But as a result of that, the sales went through the roof. The reason being, according to him and according to studies, was in the American culture, we have this desire for freedom. And the round headlights subliminally tapped into the idea of a horse's head and round eyes. Going out on the wide open range, because that's what Americans love. Wide open spaces. And it gave this image of us being on a horse going out in the middle of nowhere. And also in France, it also took off because it reminded them of the Willys Jeeps for the American Liberation Forces that came into France. The little tweak. This is tapping into the code. And he makes some diagnosis about a number of different cultures and what is behind it. And I want to read you one today because I think it's something about why we as Americans don't think highly of submission. And it's going to, I'm going to read a whole page to you. So just sit back and see if you can track his line of thinking. He calls our culture an adolescent culture. And being adolescent doesn't necessarily mean being wrong, or else most of my humor would be wrong. But he calls our culture an adolescent culture. And listen to what he says here. Our adolescence stems from one essential point. We never had to kill the king in order to become who we are. Every adult was once a child, small and anxious, and then they go through the stages of adolescence and rebellion. In the American culture, however, our rebellion took an unusual form. Many cultures act out the rebellion by killing their leaders. For example, the French rebelled by beheading Louis XVI, after which their period of rebellion ends and adulthood begins. We never killed our king because we never actually had one. We rebelled against the only king who ever tried to rule us, and we threw him out of our room. But we didn't behead him, we simply told him to stay out. For this reason, our rebelliousness period never really ended. Rather than moving on from it, we hold on to it and reinforce it when we welcome immigrants to our shores. These immigrants have left the country that was forced upon them at birth. Coming here is a huge act of rebellion. Like the American revolutionaries, they leave their old cultures behind rather than, quote, finishing the job by killing the king. Therefore, they remain rebels, and this constant influx of new adolescents helps keep our entire culture adolescent. Looking at our culture through this set of glasses explains why we are so successful around the world selling the trappings of adolescence. Coca-Cola, Nike shoes, fast food, blue jeans, loud, violent movies. America has never produced a world-class classical composer. Think about that, never. But it successfully exported rock, hip-hop, R&B, the music of adolescence to every corner of the globe. American basketball players who can hardly read make exponentially more money than American scientists do. We are endlessly fascinated with celebrities and all the adolescent mistakes that they make. Now, I don't know how much of what he says there that is 100% true, but here's what I do know. If you lead anything, if you lead a business, if you lead a family, if you lead a civic organization, if you lead a committee, no matter, if you lead anything, you identify with this because you know that no matter what you do, if somebody wasn't in the room making the decision with you, they distrust you. If you lead anything, you know that the preponderance of evidence that you need to convince somebody it's a good idea is overwhelming because we as Americans will naturally and always tend to distrusting people in authority, tend to distrusting calls that leaders make. It's the American way, the way of rebellion, the way of distrust, the way of paranoia. I myself fall prey to this. Just this last week, I was sitting around some people, we were getting ready for Go Cincinnati or talking about it, and I heard about some of the projects that took place. By the way, how awesome was Go Cincinnati yesterday? Yeah, wasn't that awesome? I heard about some of the projects that were happening, and I thought that some of the projects sounded a little less virile or a little less intense than others. And I went, oh my gosh, what are we doing that project? Oh yeah, that'll be real hard. I'm kind of laughing about this and kind of joking. And then caught myself and said to the people that were in the group, I said, interesting here. Notice what just happened. I didn't plan the 150 so projects, despite the fact that very smart people, smarter than me, who devoted virtually a year of their life to researching, planning, logisticating, I find out about a couple projects in the span of 30 seconds, come to my rational, obviously true, according to me, conclusion that these projects shouldn't have happened. It's ridiculous. This is a sign of my desire to distrust and rebel. Whatever happened to trusting people who make decisions and putting ourselves under authority? When we don't do this, we're not relationally intelligent with other people, and we're not relationally intelligent with God. And we see how this kind of plays out here in our church. Last week, at the beginning of the whole series, if you know, you've been around for the last couple months, we've been in an intense run. We've looked at consumerism. We've ratcheted up our giving to be a blessing. We've looked at deep things like dying to self, getting inside of coffins. I mean, it's intense, intense, intense. And so we figured, hey, we need some time to just laugh a little bit more. Not that we're not going to get into some serious stuff. We need to just laugh. And so we strategically went into this, wanting to lighten things up a little bit. And last week, I know some people got all upset. Some people actually got up and walked out or wanted to get up and walk out. And what's interesting about that to me is those who wanted to get up and walked out used the excuse of, this is just entertainment, so I'm leaving. Proving that you're only here for entertainment because it wasn't good enough for you, so you left. Very interesting how that happened. Proving that you're actually not about connect with God. You're about religious goods and services, and you want to consume them. And as soon as they're not good enough for you, you want to leave. Didn't think through, maybe there's a bigger plan here. Maybe some people who thought this through aren't idiots, and they actually pray with God and maybe heard with God, but you don't like something for 5 minutes, so you get up and go. That's not relationally intelligent. That's not spiritual maturity either. That's spiritual adolescence, wah, 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 is what that is. And when you start to grow and honor and see things like submission and authority, you start to go, okay, I need to start recalibrating. Maybe this rebelliousness thing that I have, this isolation mentality, isn't from God. Maybe it isn't. Let's take a look at some of the many, many ways in the Bible where it talks about what it means to submit. Here's one in the book of 1 Peter. Slaves, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it's commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. People have used and abused this verse to somehow justify slavery. This is not the kind of slavery that was the abomination that our country knows. Our country knows kidnapping. Went over to another country, kidnapped, brought over, forced labor to bolster up our economy and take off. That's not the kind of slavery that took place in the first century. This context right here is, in all likelihood, debtor's slavery, where you would voluntarily put yourself in the service of somebody else to pay off your debt. This is not kidnapping. This is not being chained. This is a different kind of thing. So it's actually closer to an employer relationship. a very difficult employer relationship. And so what to say here? When you got a difficult employer, submit, honor them. Because, and when you're doing that, you're honoring the value of authority and you're being conscious of God. You're being relationally intelligent of God when you do this. Here's another one. The book of Romans, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. This says that God establishes hierarchy. That's what this says. And this says God likes that. That's how God has organized the world to work. This doesn't mean that everybody who has a position of leadership, God's excited that they have a position of leadership. This doesn't mean that everybody who has elected office was the best person for the elected office. But what it means is the office is something that God uses to govern the world. And therefore, we ought to submit ourselves to authorities, whoever they are, and realize this is God's idea. And so when we submit, the system works. When it doesn't submit, we don't submit, it doesn't work. Here's another one. Hebrews chapter 13. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Keep watch. They keep watch over you as men and women who must give an account. What this says is when I obey people who are in authority, when I honor them, when I submit to them, actually who benefits? Me. I actually benefit. If you lead anybody, you know what I'm talking about here, what this verse is talking about. Because when people are constantly second-guessing, when people are constantly wanting to be heard, when people are constantly doubting, constantly hurling accusations, constantly not doing things that you know is best for the overall organization, it saps the life out of you and it keeps you from leading well. It keeps you from doing that. And so when I want to be taken care of, I want to help people take care of me well. And that means that I'm a joy to work under them. Now, what I think about this for me, I don't live with my parents any longer, so submitting to them isn't relevant. I want to honor my parents, but I don't submit to my parents any longer. As far as where I get my paycheck, if you looked at the organizational chart of Crossroads, as far as single kind of authority figures, I'm at the top. So I don't have on a day in, day out basis someone kind of exercising leadership over me as a single person. But I do have somebody or people who I'm in submission to. It's Crossroads Board of Spiritual Directors, a group of men and women that I'm one of, but I also am in submission to. And there's things that they decide that I submit to. So as I thought through this, I thought, what is the most recent time when I submitted? And it was hard because submission is oftentimes very hard. It's not something that's natural. So just the most recent time and how this played out for my life was about, 3 months or so ago, maybe 4 months. I written a book. It's coming out in the fall. And, the board decided through research and all that kind of stuff to make it so that all the money that comes to me through the book goes immediately to Crossroads. In fact, to the point where I signed the contract, I signed it so that it wouldn't even come through my account and go to Crossroads. It all goes directly to Crossroads. Now, they asked my opinion about this and we talked about it. And this isn't the right thing for everybody to do. But as they discerned and prayed and thought through what was the best thing for me, what was the best thing for our mission, this was the decision. And what did I have to do? I had to submit. Now, I had the ability to say some things and ask some things, but it wasn't something I was all that excited about initially. You know, it really was. See, the way this works in for American church pastors, one of the ways this works for many is that when you get a secondary income stream, it's a way for you to detach from the church. It's a way for you to become independent. It's a way for you to not to be dependent on folks. And so it was a way for me to stay linked and connected with here. And I could have thrown out some nuclear phrases that would have had it coming, quote unquote, my way. I could have done that. I know there were some things that I could have said that would have made, oh, maybe we don't feel that strongly about this. But I know that they're looking out for the best thing for me, the best thing for the overall kingdom, the best thing for the mission. See, what is submission? Submission was when you are sub to the mission. That's what submission is. Submission is when you are sub to the mission. When there's a mission you're a part of and you put yourself under it. For many of us, our mission is happiness. It's like, you know, what do you want to do with it? I don't know, I want to be happy. So you choose your career on that, you choose your spouse on that, you choose your sex life on that, your mission is to be happy. And if your mission is to be happy, you'll keep looking at life in 5-minute increments, 15-minute increments, just saying, how do I feel good this 15 minutes? And you will never feel good when you submit. You don't feel good for 15 minutes when you submit. The benefit comes later. And if your mission is happiness, you're totally disconnected with what I'm saying. You'll never do this. If your mission is God, you'll just go, ooh, I can even think about that. Submission is when you sub yourself, put yourself under a mission, and that means you also put yourself under other people or other structures. Three things just to think about as to what you get, how you benefit when you submit. Three things. Number one, when you submit, you're able to have other people see things that you can't see. Other people see things that you can't see. I know the board was seeing things and able to see things that I couldn't see with this decision. I just know that. I know that was the case. So therefore, I'm going to go, hey, we got multiple eyes of people who walk close with God and are very, very smart people. They can see things I can't see. And we've all experienced this. Any of us who've ever gone to a wedding, haven't we? Does anybody see some reason why these two people should not be married? Speak now, forever hold your peace. Amen. You know, everyone would go, oh man, I ought to say something right now. I should say something because those of us who are divorced in here, you ever get divorced and then you had a friend later on say, oh yeah, man, I saw that one coming. And you're like, well, why didn't you tell me? Well, maybe they didn't tell you because you didn't have an attitude of submission where you would have listened. There's people in here right now. You're on the verge of divorce and probably shouldn't be on the verge of divorce. And you'll likely make a bad decision because you're unwilling to put yourself around people who you will submit to. Who will say, you know, would you just for the next 6 months just do what I say and recognize you're emotionally whacked right now. You're hurting. You're probably not going to make it. Would you slot yourself under me and don't make a decision on this that isn't in submission to me? You go, well, that sounds weird. No, it's biblical. And if your life falls apart and your relationship disintegrates, it could be because the submission thing is not anything that you've tapped into. Second big benefit is that the decisions you make are better. You make better decisions because there's people who are more qualified to make decisions than you are. There's people around here who are more qualified to make decisions than I am. And so therefore, the overall decisions become much, much better. I'm sitting with the joy of the decision I submitted 2 months ago, and I just feel so great about it right now. I've had 2 royalty checks that have immediately gone right to Crossroads, and I feel phenomenal about it, awesome about it. I didn't feel good about it in that first 15 minutes in the meeting when it came down, but now I'm experiencing the benefits on a number of different ways I don't want to talk about right now, and probably will never talk about, but it's a way that I'm learning that, man, life just works better when you honor authorities and when you have authorities in your life. And third thing is that when I honor authority and I allow authority to do their job and I submit, my decisions are better. And the third one, I can focus on other things. There it is. I can focus. I can focus. See, if I have to have a say in everything and I have to have my hand in everything and I have to make sure people in authority over me just understand where I'm coming from, if I constantly do that, then I'm focusing on so many different decisions that other people are more qualified to do, and I can focus on the things that only I can do, or I can focus on the ones that I'm uniquely qualified to. I can drill down on the things that really add value to the mission God has for me. Here's a stupid way this impacted me. Just came up yesterday. There's this practice that's developed within our country called senior pictures. It's an awful satanic practice. I don't know why it exists. The way it works is if you're a senior in high school, you go out and you get some photo, professional photo layout. It's like, you know, people spend hundreds, thousands of dollars flying to Tahiti to have photos of themselves as a senior. This is crazy. Whatever happened to the good old days of going and standing in front of the chalkboard? Whatever happened to that? I don't know, but it's like this big thing that really, really, really bothers me, you know. And yesterday, but you know, it's part of the culture that we're in, and there's some truth in that. So we got to figure out how to make that work. Well, my oldest daughter, who's a senior in high school, said that a friend of hers has found a good photographer, and his family has, and wants to know if we want to go along and do a little twofer one. And I know this family. They are very frugal. They are very responsible financially. And you know, I just submitted to that decision. I just submitted to that. I don't need to go through the yellow pages or Libby go through the yellow pages and double check this and that. No, when I trust their decision makings, I choose to submit to their decision. My life just got a heck of a lot easier. I know that they're going to make, they've made a great decision and it's very responsible financially and we can slot into that. And I can therefore focus on other things that God wants me to focus on. I don't think he necessarily wants me to focus on thumbing through the yellow pages. Life starts to work. We start to become very relationally intelligent people when we apply these things. So I want to bring up a person who's a very good friend of mine. We've established a relationship with him. Please welcome Pastor Titus Sithole from South Africa, Mamelodi, South Africa, to our stage. Come on up, Titus. All right. Well, as you can see, if my wardrobe is last decade, yours is like all hot and natty. I said nappy last service. I said, no, the right word is natty. Yes, natty. Looking all good. Hey, thanks for coming all the way from South Africa.
Well, it's always a joy to be here.
Hey, a few questions for you. Culturally for us, it is hard for us to submit for all the reasons stated and a heck of a lot more. I would have to think, though, for you guys, it would have to be even that much harder for you. Yeah, you come from apartheid where you saw just dominant, overbearing, ungodly people physically put you down and subvert you. And yet, when I interact with you folks and the people from your country, it doesn't seem like submission is a difficult thing for you. How is that?
Yeah, under apartheid, yes, we were, living under difficult conditions and situation. But one thing that has been helpful for us has been our culture, our upbringing. In Africa, we have chiefs, we have community leaders, we have spiritual leaders that we really look up to and follow their leading. And so that has really been the key in submission, even with the new government and the changes. But one thing that during oppression that has done to us was to be anti-Bible, because the oppressors use the Bible to control and cause us to be submissive. And so we saw submission in that context, in a Christian context, in a negative way. And so, but because of our background, we are able to submit and find it easy to do so.
So you're saying that you had cultural conditions that preceded apartheid?
Yes.
Okay. I saw some of those cultural conditions when I was in South Africa this last January. I was just a normal grunt worker for the team that was doing eye care. I don't know anything about eyes, but I was doing crowd control. And there was a room that was about the size of this stage. It was a holding tank for all, I think it was kindergarten and first graders.
Yes, sir.
And there was two lines or three rows of chairs that went in a U around the thing with little itty bitty kids waiting to go one by one into the office. And there was adults, like two adults, so it was a ratio of 1 to 50.
Yes, sir.
No air conditioning, no like video rolling to keep them occupied. And the kids sat there for hours waiting their turn, and they were happy. How does that work? I mean, why is that?
Well, we have a saying that goes, you are a person by others. You are made who you are by other people. And in our culture, respect is a huge thing. We never called elderly people by their names. We would say Miss, Mrs. and so on. And in fact, they don't even call me Titus. They call me Pastor Titus.
We talked about this last service. Let's talk it again. I didn't know the answer last service. I do now, but I'll ask you anyway. You know, your culture, you use titles more, like Pastor Titus. You said kids talk to anybody who's older, who's a female mother.
Yes.
Our culture is different than that. I discourage people calling me Reverend or Pastor. We even call adults by their first names, which I'm I'm not so sure about that one when we're a little kid. When we're around you, would you prefer that we called you as a sign of respect, Pastor Titus, versus just Titus?
Not really. You know, I would say do as the Romans do. So when I'm here, I'm easy. But when you come to South Africa, you have to call me Pastor Titus.
All right, good. We'll do that. Those of you who are going over. And I think what's interesting about that is just culturally speaking, it just makes me go, it's interesting how we work to real hard to drop out all of that stuff in our culture. Maybe that just goes right hand in hand with us not honoring authority. You know?
Yes, I think it's
God, I mean, God doesn't say thou shalt call your pastor pastor. But it's just one, a sign to me that makes me think that maybe your culture is more honoring than ours.
Yes, it is. That's why that's what I was saying, that we were raised up in that context and that culture of honoring, you know, those that are above you. Because, and even in the Christian circle, the anointing, the grace and the calling that you don't respect may not benefit you. And so it helps our people to know that, if I say pastor, that I can really, if I'm in trouble, I need prayer, I need whatever. So they don't just treat me as a common person, even though I'm human, but, you know, that authority structure that God has put in place in the Bible.
Now, we've sent over a bunch of money over to South Africa, invest in your ministry, and we're going to continue to do that even more so with coming out of Consumed. But I know that questions happen around here a lot with people going over to South Africa and with your folks coming here. And question, it's totally great to question an authority figure. That's totally fine. But over here, when I get these questions, it's not always just pure questions. It's often an accusation in the form of a question. It's a different thing. And so the way it goes oftentimes is, why is it that we send all these people over to South Africa when there's people in need, we just write them a check? And why is it when all these people come from South Africa over here, all that money could be spent in it? That's kind of, that's the tone that's used. It's not really a question, it's an accusation. But let's just treat it like a question for a moment. Why is it, why would we send people over, and why did your people, 50 of you, right?
Yes.
Hey, if you're from South Africa and you're not on stage, if you're here right now, are you here right now? Would you stand if you're from South Africa and you're here right now? Where are you? There's some in the back there. Right over here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We're blessed to have you with us. Thank you. So explain, what is the rationale behind using money in this way?
Yes. We're not really looking for handouts. We're looking for partners. Now, there are a lot of handouts now with the tsunamis, and people send stuff there, and the world is still the same. But I believe that when we do things out of the context of relationship and partnership, we can change the world. And so that's...
Yes.
Oh. Amen. Oh. And so to have you guys, I believe so far we have over 1,000 people that came from Crossroads to Mamelodi. And this is the first time in the history of the country of South Africa that a black church in the township has been able to bring so many people to volunteer, pay their way, pay for whatever they do. It has never been done. It's a marvel. And now, when you guys go back, everybody comes to us and say, hey, you are great, guys. You are doing a great work. So I like the idea of you coming alongside and empowering us to serve our community and together. And now, the benefits of not sending money, even though money is coming.
We do send money.
Yes.
We'll continue to do that. Yeah. We're excited to
right.
do that. Yeah.
But I believe for us, the relationship, the partnership is much more than money, because you can send money, it gets, you know, you use it and it's done. But when we have relationship and partnership, both ways, we are there for life, as the Lord will keep us together. And so, but the benefit has been, we have learned so much by coming here, how you guys volunteer, how you guys are, you know, just forget who you are, what you do, and just be a servant. That has really transformed our church. And if we were just sending money only, we wouldn't have grown ourselves, and vice versa. So
yeah, that's been phenomenal. We talk a lot of times about how we've learned from you. We have this partnership because we have to get out of our culture to see bigger things of God. God is in every culture, but he's also in other cultures in ways he's not in our current culture. So we have to get out of our rut to see how God works in your culture. And we've seen a dependence on prayer. We've seen a desire to rejoice in all circumstances, not be anal driven in all circumstances like Americans are. And you just mentioned in our culture, you see the desire to volunteer and serve, which you've taken back. You've also mentioned before how especially your women notice that American men serve their women much better than your men.
Yes.
So tell your wife that next time. She doesn't like what you do. I'm kidding. But, you know, you've been very complimentary for things you've seen in us. But I'm going to go in the other shoe for a moment. We're going to turn it over to you in just a moment. But if you would you just look into our culture and what's an outage that you think that we may have in connecting with God?
Yeah, before that, let me just mention one thing about the pictures that you guys send over. Now, some of our people have accommodated you. They had, you know, one-on-one contact. But with the pictures, the people who don't have a bigger house or live in the squatters or live, they were able to have somebody, you know, before them as a part of the family. For every evening, every service, small group, Sunday service for 10 minutes or so, we will hold those pictures before God, praying for all of you. And what I said to our people was that, and we were praying that as we are, in terms of our dedication to God with nothing, having no resources, and while people are coming out of poverty, that we are not to be consumed of materialism as we are praying for you. And we've kind of learned from you that having all that you have and still want to be totally dependent on God. And that has really been so neat. So we want to thank you for sending the pictures. Now, coming to the question of what I see within the culture here in terms of submission to God. And what I've seen since I started coming over to the U.S. is that, you know, there are three kind of salvation, so to speak. One is where one accepts Christ and starts to have a relationship with God. And the second one is where now Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Becomes the authority. And so I've seen that a lot of Christians, they are still on base one. You know, they have not led Jesus to be their Lord. They still are in control of their life. They're in control of their resources. Christ is not at the center. He's not yet enthroned as the king of their lives. And so that's kind of one thing that we have seen, and we pray that as, you know, we grow in the Lord, we will get to that stage. But no doubt we have seen so many of you since you became a believer, lives changed, and we really appreciate that. But the second part, which is the most important one, is just to have Jesus be the boss.
It is true. Maybe that's why we talk about, it's popular in the States to talk about Jesus as my personal Savior. Meaning he's sort of my bus pass to heaven if and when I die.
Yes.
But to say he's my Lord, to say he's my authority for what I do right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're not as comfortable with that one. No. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit under your authority right now. We believe that God has brought you all here for a reason. We believe God has brought you here to grow us in certain ways. And so for the rest of our time together, we're going to slot under you and we're going to submit to your leadership as you lead us in some worship and connect with God right now. Okay? All right.
Before we lead you in worship, this afternoon we'll have a concert where we'll sing, but this one is different. We are now going to worship the Lord, and we'd like you to join in with us and just forget about the person next to you. We're going to forget about you. We're going to connect with God and lift our hands and bless the name of Jesus. And so we ask you just to join in as you feel comfortable. But before we do that, it's an offering time. In our church, when it's an offering time, it's one of the most exciting time. It's an offering time! It's an offering time. Offering time is a blessing time.
Yeah.
We get excited about offering time because all that we have received it from God.
Yeah.
And we have the opportunity to give back to God. Yes. Who gave it? And we are not only giving to get. We are not only giving because we have to buy some things from God. We give because God has blessed us.
Amen.
How many of you are blessed this morning?
Yeah.
Then you have a reason to give. So may the Lord bless you as you give. So I'm going to hand over to the worship team. Just flow and jump in as we worship the Lord together.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we stand in awe of you. You are great and mighty. You are high and lifted up. We exalt you. We are impressed. We are impressed of who you are, your loveliness, your holiness. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We exalt you. We exalt you. You are above all. We thank you, Lord God, that even this morning, the privilege to come before your throne and to honor you and to behold your loveliness. We bless you. Thank you for this service. As we are about to go our separate ways, I speak your blessing upon your people in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that you'll meet each one of us at the point of our need. I pray for your intervention, O God, in those situations and circumstances that are humanly impossible. I pray that answers will come. In the name of Jesus, I pray that, Father and God, as we go our separate ways, that your presence will continue to be with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow. Thank you for coming and have a blessed week. God bless you.